Welcome to Upworth. My name is Jennifer, and it is our joy to be in worship with you this morning. Whether you're a regular Upworth attender or you've just happened upon our online worship for the first time, welcome. We pray that you will be blessed, challenged, as well as encouraged today. Would you join me in prayer? Come, Almighty God, be glorified as we celebrate our freedom in Christ Jesus today. Come, mighty God, give us visions of truth and justice. Come, mighty God, give us wisdom that we may build bridges of peace and grace. Come, mighty God, come offer your healing that all nations and people may work together to see your kingdom come. Come, mighty God, teach us that true freedom comes in giving ourselves fully to you and to your will. In the name of Christ, amen.
As we continue our time of worship today, may we now go to the Lord in prayer. While we strive to accumulate material things, God, you come to offer us salvation, the one gift we cannot purchase. As the world prepares to entice us with more and more, you come to fill our hearts with all the hopes you have dreamed about us forever. When skepticism and fear callous our hearts, you come to bathe us in the soothing lotion of compassion. When stress scoops out potholes for every step we take, you come, filling the emptiness with your serenity and grace. As the clock turns faster and faster each day, it seems, you come to swaddle us in a shawl woven with patience. When others push past us to get to the front of worry's line, you come so we can clasp them so close to our hopes they can hear your heartbeat. So come to us. Come to us, God, in community, holy and one, even as we pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I'm so glad that you've joined us on this very important 4th of July weekend. Hope that you're having a special time with your friends and family. As we celebrate God today and the freedom that comes in our faith and in this beautiful country called America. We have a scripture for you today from Isaiah. Isaiah, as you know, is located just after the Song of Solomon and just before the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament. If you're reading from our New Revised Standard Version in the pew of our sanctuary, it's on page 667. Isaiah chapter 40, beginning with verse 1. Comfort, O comfort my people, says the Lord. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. A voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And then verses 9 and 10. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength. O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings, lift it up. Do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. May God add his blessing to the reading and understanding of this portion of his holy scripture, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Hello, I'm Pastor Beth, and thank you for being a part of worship this Independence Day weekend. Thank you for making time to spend hearing God's word and reflecting on it. Wherever you are today, may you find joy and fulfillment in even the smallest things. Will you join me in prayer? Holy Spirit, come. Open our ears, our hearts, and our minds to God's direction. Help us to work with God to build a nation and a world of kindness, justice, and peace for all. Amen. Well, it is Independence Day weekend. We may be celebrating in new or different ways, but even if there are fewer people at the annual family barbecue and the national pastime of baseball isn't yet underway, the community fireworks displays may have been canceled this summer. None of this changes the fact that good men and women give up their lives every day for the causes of freedom and justice and liberty. Receive the thanks of a grateful nation. We give thanks not only to those who protect our communities and our country, but to their families as well. We're blessed by the presence of all those who choose to make the United States their home. From surgeons and scientists to writers and chefs, our next-door neighbors, may we grow in wisdom and understanding, seeing life through each other's eyes, and may we continue to find more commonalities than differences as we accept each other as we are. We are grateful also for those who teach about our nation's history so that we may learn from the successes and missteps of our ancestors and do better for our children and our grandchildren. Whether you were trained as a teacher or you found yourself thrust into that role, teaching your children around the dining room table, thank you for doing your best under unusual circumstances. If you teach by exercising your freedom of speech, thank you for speaking in a world where others don't always want to hear or listen. This is the problem experienced by the prophets of the Bible. They speak, but people often don't like what they have to say. In Israel and Judah, it was the prophet's job to stand with the priests and speak the truth. It was his or her job to call out leaders and the people when they were straying from God's laws and warning them about God's judgment. Some people heard the words of the prophets and said, "You're right. I have not been following God's laws. I repent. I'm sorry. I will try to do better." Others resisted the admonitions of the prophets because it interfered with their wealth and status, or because worshiping other false gods was easier. And when the prophets began speaking of God's judgment against the leaders and the people, they would be on the receiving end of threats and insults and anger. Think about a time when someone told you the truth and you didn't want to hear it because you didn't want to be wrong. Maybe it felt embarrassing. Maybe you didn't want to change from what you were doing because what you were doing was easy and the gratification was almost instant. You got called out by a truth teller who warned you to change or risk getting into trouble. It would be easy to get angry with that person, dismiss them, yell back that they don't know what they're talking about and that they should just leave you alone. Now picture that with hundreds of people doing that to you every day for 60 years. Yeah, that was Isaiah's world. But Isaiah and all the others living into their spiritual gift of prophecy continued to do as they were called to do, faithfully. The job known as prophet began under the leadership of Samuel, who was the last of the judges in the Old Testament. Isaiah had the longest tenure of all the prophets, about 60 years, and through the reigns of several kings in Israel and Judah. Isaiah witnessed the fall of Israel to the Assyrians and the campaign against Jerusalem by the Assyrian leader Sennacherib, who would later destroy Babylon and build the Assyrian city of Nineveh. Isaiah was around during tumultuous times in the history of Israel and Judah, and while he spoke to both nations as well as surrounding countries about God's laws and judgment, Isaiah was primarily God's messenger to Judah. For 39 chapters in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, the prophet outlines the sins of Israel and Judah, offers judgment against the nations that surround them, speaks about God's purpose in judgment, which is for the people to return to God and repent and be renewed. And Isaiah is with King Hezekiah through some of the worst times in the king's life, including his own terrifying illness. But then, beginning with the chapter that we heard today, Isaiah 40, Isaiah begins offering hope to two nations beset by war and strife and fear. Isaiah begins speaking of renewal and redemption. God has not forgotten his people. God still loves them. God will see them through their trials. We're probably most familiar with the latter part of chapter 40. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Isaiah is indeed speaking to a very weary people. Decades of captivity, war, fear, and people trying to find comfort and renewal in everything but God has taken its toll. These people were tired. They had had enough. But here at the beginning of Isaiah 40, God instructs Isaiah to speak comfort to God's people. Stop with the doom and gloom and let them know that God still loves them and they will be okay. Within this chapter, Isaiah lets the people know that Cyrus the Great, the king of Persia, would end the captivity of the people of Israel at Babylon. Captivity would end and peace and healing would take place. But Isaiah also alludes to the suffering servant to come, and a new heaven and a new earth that all people will see together. And all believers will participate in the new world to come. They will be part of making it happen. God tells Isaiah to tell the people that Jerusalem has served her sentence, that they have been through more than enough, and it's done. Everything is forgiven. All will be healed. Then God tells Isaiah to call out in the desert, in that place of despair, prepare the way of the Lord, make the crooked places straight. The valleys shall be raised up and the mountains leveled out. Make the road fit for God. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all people will see it together. The deliverance of the people, the rebuilding of the nation, all people will see it together. Where else have we heard this? From the mouth of John the Baptist. Many, many years later. Prepare the way of the Lord. John spoke of the coming of Jesus. That is the glory of the Lord in a man fully human and fully divine. The healer of the sick, the speaker of the truth, the suffering servant foretold by Isaiah. And in God's instruction to Isaiah, God also encourages the prophet himself. Go up that mountain, Isaiah. Bring the good news to Jerusalem. Lift your voice and shout. Don't be afraid. Remind the towns of Judah, here is your God who protects and delivers and forgives. Don't be afraid, Isaiah, to use your voice and the gifts that you have been given. You are called not only to speak the hard truths, but also to speak the promise of renewal and redemption through belief. It's safe to say that, like Israel and Judah, we as a nation are pretty tired and worn out. We as a community are stressed out. We as a church are tired and out of sorts. Hopeful, yes, but out of sorts. Here's the good news. God never promises that there won't be adversity and there won't be times of trial. But God will be with us through it all. Something new and stronger can be built out of the remnants of something old. God did not abandon Israel and Judah, but God did expect them to do things better. We long for things to go back to normal or go back to life as it was before a small, invisible enemy attacked our nation and our world. Our friends and neighbors continue to get very sick. We worry about becoming sick ourselves. All places, hospitals, businesses, churches, individual homes have to play by a new set of rules for health and wellness, and the rules keep changing. People have lost their jobs. Those who are job hunting are in an uphill struggle as potential employers put hiring on hold. Mental health suffers as well as physical health. As we isolate for our physical well-being, we can become estranged from those around us, and we run the risk of disconnecting from God. There are people who see the pandemic as punishment. But there is another way to look at it. We can pull away from God and from each other, looking at each other with concern and suspicion, putting ourselves before the neighbors that we are called to love as ourselves, putting our relationship with God on the back burner. We can do all of that, or we can lean into God. We can see each other with God's eyes. We can take advantage of restricted schedules and new protocols and spend extra time with God and spend extra time with God's Word, where we will find hope and inspiration and direction. We can exhale through our masks if necessary and say, "Okay, God, I'm at the end of my rope. We have had enough. What can I do?" And then listen. God does not just speak to those who are called as prophets. God has something to say to all of us. We also cannot plug our ears and close our eyes to the political strife and social injustices that prevail in our country. As a nation, we are young compared to some of our friends in Europe and Asia. But the young can lead. We as a nation need to do things differently. We can do things differently. We've done it before. We are far from perfect, but the spirit is there, the potential is there. The capability to be peacemakers is there. The capacity to love one another as God loves us is there. We have hope. But we have to listen to the prophets of our time. We have to listen to the truth tellers, even if we don't want to hear it or it makes us uncomfortable. They are trying to turn us from a destructive path. They are trying to bring change. They are trying to speak love and mercy and justice into life. Who do you hear as a modern prophet? Who are the truth tellers in your life that make you stop and think? Prophet is a huge title to carry around. And as Isaiah shows us, it won't win you any popularity contests. But we all have our truths to tell, even if we don't consider ourselves to be prophets. While I was on vacation at the beginning of June, I had a chance to finally read a book that had been sitting on my shelf for a while, and I'm so glad that I did. It's called What's Your Story? Seeing Your Life Through God's Eyes, and it's by Reverend Sarah Heath. Reverend Heath uses the story of Joseph from the book of Genesis as the anchor for her exploration of individual stories, and more importantly, how we co-author our story with God. Our decisions, our dreams, our choices are all important to the plan that God has worked out for us. And our stories are just as much a part of that larger narrative. The book is also partially a journal with writing prompts that help you see the adventure of your own life with all of its mountains and valleys and plot twists. Your story is your truth. It is every bit as important as your partner's, as your children's, and as the person standing behind you in the grocery checkout. Our individual stories are not right or wrong, they just are. Some are beautiful and some are horrific. If you don't tell your story, even if it's just to one person, the world is missing out on your truth and your experience that is part of God's greater narrative. There are no minor characters here. Truth is sometimes messy and unpopular and uncomfortable. But sharing our truth by writing it, painting it, or speaking it, whether it's standing on a street corner holding a sign or in a one-on-one conversation, is how we become better people. And what's more important than speaking your truth is hearing someone else's. Our truths we tell fill each other's valleys. We lower the mountains so that they're not as hard to climb. We pluck rocks out of the road in the desert to prepare the way for the Lord. We will walk in a level place on even ground, and the Lord will meet us there. As we celebrate the beauty of our nation with its diverse tapestry of nature and humanity, may we remember the right and privilege of being a truth teller and the expectation of being good listeners. God encouraged even the veteran prophet Isaiah to lift his voice with a shout to proclaim comfort and mercy and the love of God, just as he had borne the responsibility of delivering criticism and caution. We are able to work with differences, not figure out who's right and who's wrong, but just to say, okay, we're different here, and weave those differences together into something stronger. We have it in each of us to hear each other's truths and not shout each other down. We have it in us to build God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, with God's wisdom and word. All people can experience peace, justice, kingdom, and love. All people we'll see it together. Amen.
As we continue in our worship this day, we enter into a time of offering. You may choose to give two ways this day. You may choose to physically mail your check to Epworth at the address that is on your screen at the bottom. Or you can also give your gift electronically by going online to the address at the bottom of your screen. Let us go now to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for another chance for us to gather together as the body of Christ, whether in person or online. Today, we lift up all ourselves, including our financial gifts, and we give them to you. May we experience your blessings each day and not keep them to ourselves, but may we offer them back to you with love. May we love you enough to give back to you what is already yours to begin with. God, may you bless these tithes and offerings today and use them for your kingdom. Amen.
It's our joy and our pleasure to celebrate communion with you on this first Sunday of July. If you'd like to participate in communion at home, if you have crackers or bread of any kind of juice, grape juice, or whatever you have available, even if it's water, we are looking forward to celebrating with you at home and remembering the Lord's Supper. This table is the table of the Lord. It is for all people. You don't have to be a member of the Methodist Church. You don't have to be a member of any church. If you desire to be in communion with Christ, to be nourished in body and spirit, this is the time and this is the place. And we are happy that you are joining us today. On the night when Jesus gave himself up for us, he took a simple loaf of bread from the table where he was gathered with his disciples. And he lifted the bread, he blessed it, and he broke it. And he said, "Take this, all of you. This is my body broken for you. As often as you eat, remember me." And when supper was over, he took a cup of wine from the table. And again, he gave thanks and praise. And he blessed it, and he passed it to his disciples and said, "Take and drink. This is my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. It is the new covenant for all. Whenever you drink, remember me." Holy Spirit, pour out your blessing on all gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. May they be for us the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and may we be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. Make us one with each other, one in community throughout the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly table together, all people. Amen.
Amen.
This is the body of Christ broken for you.
Amen. And the blood of Christ shed for you.
Amen. The blood of Christ shed for you.
Amen. May we pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for these gifts of bread and juice that refresh, renew, and offer forgiveness. We know that we now have a fresh, clean slate to begin this new month with you, with the past, the mistakes, the problems, whatever it might be, left behind, and a bright new beginning ahead. We receive these gifts now. We're grateful for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us for worship today. May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift his glorious countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, one God, now and forever. Amen.